G20 leaders are still working things out about currencies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. Global finance ministers wrapped up their meeting in South Korea over the weekend. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner was there trying to get everyone to agree on a proposal to curb trade imbalances, a discussion that's likely to continue when the full G20 meets in a few weeks. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The upcoming G20 meeting was already being set as the battleground for a currency war. That didn't bode well for Geithner. He's trying to avoid putting China on the defensive. In the end, Geithner got China and the rest of the G20 to agree to maintain trade balances at sustainable levels. Many economists are saying mission accomplished.
Anything that Geithner can do to shift the rhetoric away from what's the exchange rate today, that's a good thing.
Economist Andy Rothman says maintaining balanced trade among countries will be much better for the U.S. economy than forcing China to appreciate its currency. Rothman says a currency war is nothing but a sexy headline.
If you look at the exchange rate in China, it's appreciating on an annualized 7% basis now, which is pretty much what Geithner's been looking for.
But it may not be what many in Congress are looking for. Congress could soon pass legislation to punish China for manipulating its currency. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
The dollar, by the way, is at a 15-year low against the Japanese yen today, but global stocks are mostly higher. European shares are up about 0.5% or more. Asian stocks mostly added some value, too. How did Wall Street do last week? The Dow and S&P tacked on about 0.5% for the week, but the NASDAQ was down about 0.5%. Iceland has a bold new international money-making plan, but after its last foray into the global marketplace, a financial system that went haywire, should the world be worried? Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Iceland does not intend getting into banking again, just as well. Those banks wound up owing about 10 times more than the whole Icelandic economy. No, the country now wants to turn itself into a haven for the digital age.
A haven for freedom of information, freedom of expression and speech.
Lawmaker Birgitta Jonsdottir.
What we are doing is putting together all the best laws so that one country can set the standard for how we in the future strengthen these rights.
Iceland wants people from around the world to set up their servers there and publish material online without the fear of ruinous lawsuits or censorship. Icelanders see this as a noble aim and a business opportunity.
A lot of companies will probably just want internet hosting services.
Smari McCarthy is also involved in the project.
Other organisations might have greater needs, such as actually operating offices from here as a way of protecting their employees.
He says the plan could turn Iceland into a refuge for whistleblowers and for anyone who wants to expose corporate or official abuses. But Alistair Mullis, Professor of Law at the University of East Anglia, says it'll more likely turn Iceland into a hotbed of libel and intrusiveness.
It will make it very difficult to sue people who are publishing defamatory material or material that's private when they are based in Iceland.
Another critic claims that Iceland will prove as reckless with reputations and with state secrets as it was with other people's money. But Smari McCarthy says Iceland merely wants to learn and profit from the disaster of its banking boom and bust.
This is a country that was badly burned by a strong urge by those who are in power and those who own everything to keep the general public uninformed about what they're up to.
Iceland's information haven could be up and running in a year. This is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
It is a full-blooded war that's kept Fox Network out of 3 million cable homes in New York for the past week. Now the Federal Communications Commission has sent letters to Cablevision and News Corp, the Fox parent, and the commission wants to make sure there's progress being made to resolve the fight over programming fees. Now, these types of blackouts are becoming more common, and so is the practice of customers getting rid of cable TV altogether. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
13% of people plan to give up their pay TV subscriptions in the next year. That's according to a new study out from Strategy Analytics, a consulting company. Study author Ben Piper says the stats are a big deal.
Well, I think it has a huge significance to pay television to companies like Comcast and Cablevision and Time Warner Cable, because I think this is really the tip of the iceberg.
He says the next generation could trade in cable boxes and download their shows onto any number of devices, just like people are giving up landlines in favor of cell phones. Jim Goss follows the media business at investment firm Barrington Research. He's not so sure people will be scrambling to cut the cord.
There's a certain water cooler element and interest in being part of a community that if you didn't see your Dancing with the Stars last night, then you don't know who got kicked off the show.
Piper, the study's author, says cable companies do need to start thinking about alternatives, like offering channels a la carte. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
While Elisa says more people are ditching cable to watch programs online, big media companies are fighting back by blocking or delaying programs available on the internet. And finally, these are some trying economic times with elevated unemployment and companies not doing much hiring. So the folks at job website Monster.com put out some advice to keep you in your current job and hopefully with less stress. Among the 15 things not to say to your boss, it's not my fault. Most supervisors want proactive remedies, not finger pointing. My job is too easy. Yeah, probably don't want to go there. And the number one thing not to say to your boss, according to Monster, I'm only doing this job for the money. Yeah, you want to keep the Wall Street mentality to yourself. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The recession has a lot of people going back to school. They've just had enough of scraping by.
Not only what I do, but my husband, who's a carpenter, has had low work. And I just want to find something so we can be sustained.
I'm Kai Rizdal, aiming for the middle class in an hourglass economy. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.